When the tide goes out, the naked are exposed. We have all heard Warren Buffett's famous observation there. Market sell-offs, well, they have this brutal, efficient way of exposing speculative dreams dressed up as actual businesses. But crucially, this exact same retreating tide reveals something else entirely. It reveals the free surfers. These are the rare companies whose structural growth advances completely silently, yet during a market panic, they are sold off at the exact same indiscriminate discount as the naked.
Right, and that underlying dynamic, that exact discrepancy, is what we are dissecting in this video. We are exploring the compression harvest framework today, pulling directly from the concepts detailed in the Averaging Up collection. The mission of this deep dive into the collection is to fundamentally re-examine how sophisticated investors transition from, well, merely trying to survive severe market contractions to actively and mechanically harvesting them.
To get to that harvest, we need to completely deconstruct the engine of these businesses. If you look at any enterprise, you can essentially break it down into two fundamental forces. Let's define these as the toll, which we will call variable A, and the wave, which we will call variable B.
Exactly. The toll is simply the cash generated today.
Right.
And the wave represents the growth of tomorrow. But, you know, when you look at the math, not all growth is created equal.
Far from it. I mean, it is critical to draw a very sharp line here between traditional mechanical growth and natural structural growth. Let's look at the mechanical reality of a highly successful dominant company. Let's take ASML.
A phenomenal business, absolutely.
Phenomenal. But to finance the development of their next extreme ultraviolet lithography cycle, they have to spend roughly 80% of their net income. Or consider a firm like Constellation Software, which has to deploy billions in capital acquisitions just to maintain its historical growth trajectory.
Right, so their growth equation is entirely additive. It is A plus B. They generate cash today, but they have to spend a massive chunk of that cash to buy tomorrow's revenue.
Correct. And the implication for you as an investor is that the cost of tomorrow's growth variable B directly drains the cash generated today by variable A. The growth is incredibly real, and it is valuable, but it is paid for, dollar by grueling dollar.
The business is constantly consuming its own harvest just to keep moving forward.
Exactly. Now, contrast that mechanical reality with the free surfers. We're talking about businesses like Visa, MSCI, or S&P Global. The contrast here is staggering. Think about Visa.
They effortlessly collect the toll. Variable A.
Right. Every single time a card is swiped globally, they take their fraction of a cent. That is the toll booth. But then you have this massive structural wave happening in the background, the global relentless digitalization of payments. I mean, cash is literally disappearing from the economy. That is variable B.
The structural wave.
Yes. And how much capital does Visa have to deploy to make consumers shift from paper money to digital networks?
Absolutely nothing. That massive behavioral shift costs them zero. We move entirely from an additive architecture to a multiplicative architecture. For a free surfer, the full free cash flow of the toll is retained by the enterprise, while the structural wave multiplies it completely for free.
It is a fundamental shift.
It is. The equation changes from A plus B to A times B. The toll and the wave multiply, and the multiplier itself requires no capital expenditure.
Well, let me jump in and push back on that framework for a second, because this is where the theory hits the reality of the market. If this structural wave is truly entirely free for the enterprise, why doesn't standard institutional valuation capture it?
That is the core disconnect, yes.
Because it feels like owning a toll bridge where some external entity is paying billions to build an endless network of highways feeding directly into your lanes, yet the market is only valuing the concrete of your bridge. How can standard models be that blind to the highways?
Well, that toll bridge analogy exposes exactly where standard modeling breaks down. It leads us directly into what the collection terms the illusion of full price. Think about how standard equity analysts operate. They are highly proficient at modeling the pole.
Right, the concrete of the bridge.
Exactly. They evaluate a robust business with highly predictable cash flows. They run their discounted cash flow models, and they will generally assign it a price-to-earnings ratio of approximately 20, which historically mirrors the inverse of the risk-free rate. They understand variable A perfectly. The spreadsheet easily digests a stable toll.
Right, but the moment the PE goes above 20, the spreadsheet essentially throws an error.
Precisely. Anything above that baseline is systematically dismissed as a speculative premium. It gets chalked up to momentum or narrative or just irrational exuberance. So when an analyst looks at the company like MSCI trading at a PE of 42, they instantly declare the stock price to perfection.
They assume anything above 20 is just air.
And that assumption is the structural blind spot of the entire market. At a PE of 42, the market assumes it consists of a baseline PE of 20 for the tangible toll and a massive PE of 22 for pure speculative premium. But what is missing from that spreadsheet is the gratuity premium.
The gratuity premium. Let's unpack that, because this seems to be the absolute linchpin of the entire framework.
It is. The structural wave variable B, whether it is the digitalization of payments or the relentless global shift from active management to passive indexing for a company like MSCI, it is completely free for the enterprise to ride. However, you, the investor, are forced to pay a speculative premium in the open market just to access it.
Because the models can't quantify it.
Right. The discount rate in a standard valuation model cannot quantify this free structural velocity. A traditional DCF model fundamentally breaks if you try to input a permanent growth rate that requires zero capital reinvestment. The spreadsheet cell simply cannot accept it.
So to clarify, the speculative premium is pricing in human psychology and momentum, not the actual physical structural wave. The analyst sees a PE of 42 and thinks investors are just being greedy.
Exactly.
They don't realize the extra 22 points of multiple are actually a poorly calibrated attempt to price in a wave that costs the company nothing.
That is the core realization. The stock that appears fully valued to the analyst at PE 42 is, in mathematical reality, structurally undervalued by the entire thickness of that invisible gratuity premium. It is a theater full of sound, but with empty seats. The market fills all that empty space with the noise of sentiment, completely missing the silent velocity of the structural wave underneath it.
Okay, so if the market cannot see this invisible premium, what exactly happens to the math when panic hits and prices start collapsing? Where is the actual floor? Let's walk the audience through the mechanics of the harvest, because this is where the theory turns into aggressive wealth generation.
The descent.
Yes. When market compression arrives, fear drives prices down through what the analysis identifies as the three floors. Let's take the listener down through these floors to really understand the architecture of a crash.
Imagine you are holding one of these free surfers during normal macroeconomic conditions. That is floor one. The stock trades at a PE of 42. The speculative premium is fully intact. Animal spirits are high, liquidity is flowing. Now, the growth remains completely free for the enterprise. But you as the investor still have to pay a steep premium to access it.
You are paying full retail.
Right. The permanent undervaluation exists, but it is heavily masked by the noise of that speculative premium. Everyone feels smart, but you are paying full retail for the asset.
Then the macroeconomic tide begins to go out. Maybe a regional bank fails, or inflation spikes unexpectedly, and the central bank starts threatening aggressive rate hikes. We descend to floor two. The PE compresses from 42 down to, say, between 30 and 35. What is fundamentally shifting under the hood here?
At floor two, the speculative layer evaporates. The momentum traders, the highly leveraged funds, the tourists, they are liquidating. Now, the math shifts significantly in your favor. You are now paying for the toll alone. The structural wave, variable B, has transitioned.
Because it is no longer just free for the enterprise.
Exactly. It is now entirely free for you, the investor.
Because the panic has set in and the market can no longer distinguish between speculative tech companies that have zero earnings and these free surfers whose free cash flow is actually accelerating, everything correlates to one. The algorithmic selling treats S&P Global the exact same way it treats an unprofitable startup burning through venture capital.
That correlation is the key. The market sells both at the exact same indiscriminate discount. At floor two, your access to the structural wave costs nothing. It transitions from an invisible undervaluation to a highly visible, tangible sale. But that is still just the middle of the descent. It is a great entry point, but it is not the absolute bottom.
Right. The real climax of this strategy, the true compression harvest, happens when we crash into floor three. The PE drops to between 20 and 25. The asymmetry here is just profound. The speculative premium hasn't just vanished. Fear has driven the price so low that the toll itself is actively being compressed.
Let's really look at the math of floor three, because this is the holy grail of capital allocation.
Yeah.
At a PE of 20 to 25, you are paying less than the intrinsic value of the toll alone. The structural wave is now more than free. The market is literally paying you to own the growth.
Wait, the market is literally paying you.
Literally. Think about that for a second. Every single dollar of future growth generated by the free surfer is a dollar the market actively surrendered in its blind panic.
It is the absolute apex of the compression harvest. You aren't buying growth at a reasonable price anymore, and you aren't even merely getting it for free. You're being paid by a fearful market to hold an accelerating asset. But, well, let's be honest. Executing this requires a massive psychological shift in how you view macroeconomic volatility.
It absolutely does.
Yeah. Because standing at floor three requires staring down a wall of terrifying headlines. It is incredibly difficult to buy when the financial media is telling you the world is ending.
It is excruciatingly difficult for the average investor. And to understand why that fear is actually your greatest structural advantage, we need to examine the architecture of the dam. When macro fears escalate, whether it is driven by a hostile central bank rapidly raising interest rates, escalating geopolitical crises, or severe credit stress, those fears act as a massive psychological wall.
A dam holding everything back.
Right. This wall relentlessly suppresses the quoted stock price of the free surfer.
And it can hold that price down for months, sometimes even years. The stock just grinds sideways or downwards. Your portfolio looks red. Your clients are nervous. But while that wall of fear is suppressing the price, reality is continuing to advance quietly behind it.
The water keeps rising behind the dam. Earnings systematically grow because the structural wave does not care about the headlines on television.
Yeah.
But here is the most vital mechanical advantage of the free surfer during a compression. Share buybacks.
Ah, yes, the buybacks.
Let's run a detailed numerical scenario to truly visualize this compounding effect, because this is where the permanent wealth is built.
Let's do it. Walk us through the numbers of a buyback program during a compression.
Imagine our free surfer generates $1 billion in free cash flow annually, and they allocate a significant portion of that capital to retiring their own shares. During floor one normal conditions, the stock is trading at a PE of 42. They're buying back their own stock at a massive premium. It is accretive, yes, but it is expensive. They are retiring a relatively small number of shares for that $1 billion.
So they are reducing the share count, but it is a slow burn.
Exactly. But now the dam of fear is built. The
right.
Stock price has crashed to floor three. It is trading at a PE of 20. The business is still generating that exact same or likely higher $1 billion in free cash flow because the toll of global payments or passive indexing is entirely unaffected by market sentiment. But now, when management deploys that $1 billion to retire shares, they're buying them at half the price. They are retiring significantly more shares per dollar of capital deployed.
So the pie itself is still growing because of the structural wave, but the number of slices the pie is cut into is shrinking at double the speed because of the deeply compressed multiple. The per share value compounds with this exceptional, almost violent efficiency silently behind the dam.
And what investors must internalize is that the structural forces driving these free surfers simply do not pause for a macroeconomic ceasefire. The digitalization of global payments does not sit around waiting for the central bank to announce a rate cut. The expansion of global credit markets does not halt just because a heavily leveraged hedge fund is facing liquidation.
The shift toward indexation does not stop because inflation printed 50 basis points higher than expected.
Exactly. The structural wave is entirely indifferent to the fear. The longer the dam holds, the longer the multiple stays compressed at a PE of 20, the more shares the company can aggressively devour, and the higher the fundamental reality builds behind that wall. It is like coiling a spring tighter and tighter.
And here is the inevitable conclusion. Eventually, the dam breaks. Sentiment always shifts. Inflation peaks, rates stabilize, or the crisis passes. And when that psychological wall breaks, the release of value is not a slow, proportional trickle back to normalcy.
No, it is violent.
It is an asymmetric flood of capital returning to the asset as the market realizes the business didn't stop growing just because the multiple compressed. But the price doesn't just return to its previous peak of PE 42, does it? Because the underlying math has fundamentally changed while everyone was distracted by the scary headlines.
Right, it returns to a PE of 42, but applied to a significantly higher baseline of earnings. An earnings base that compounded silently behind the wall, violently amplified by the aggressive share retirement at those compressed multiples. The investor who planted their capital during the compression, who stepped confidently into floor three when everyone else was liquidating, reaps the full multiplied force of that release.
The definitive realization here, the fundamental shift in perspective for the institutional investor, is that the free surfer does not suffer from volatility. It actively consumes volatility to compound wealth.
That is the absolute essence of the contraction harvest. Most market participants only ever understand harvesting expansion. They buy an asset, they try to ride the sentiment up, and they attempt to sell to a greater fool before the music stops. But the expansion harvest is fragile, it is finite, and it is immediately consumed.
The contraction harvest is entirely different. It is planted, it is deferred, and it is permanent. You aren't just capturing a momentary gain in sentiment, you are capturing a permanent structural trajectory that you acquired at a mathematical discount.
When you synthesize the historical evolution of this investment philosophy, the progression we have discussed today is quite striking. It really begins with Warren Buffett's traditional doctrine from decades ago, growth at a reasonable price.
Right.
You find a good business and you pay a fair, mathematically sound price for variable B. An entire generation of institutional wealth was built on that fundamental premise.
But markets evolve, and the frameworks have to evolve with them. The evolution then advances to the concept of the permanent wave. This is the era of growth at no cost. It is the profound realization that for a very specific subset of companies, the free surfers, the structural wave costs the enterprise absolutely nothing. The business retains 100% of its cash flow while the macro wave multiplies it infinitely.
And finally, we arrive at the absolute apex of the framework discussed in today's analysis, the compression harvest. We move from growth at a reasonable price to growth at no cost to getting paid to own growth. During a severe macroeconomic contraction, the fear becomes so pervasive, so deeply entrenched, that the toll itself is deeply discounted.
The market, in its panic, actively pays you to hold the structural growth it cannot understand, cannot model, and fundamentally will not wait for.
Each step in this evolution transcends the previous one. Each step moves the sophisticated investor closer to the fundamental truth that the free surfer is never actually fully priced. And during a market compression, the distance between the quoted price on the screen and the mathematical truth of the asset reaches its absolute maximum. That distance is your harvest.
Which leaves you, the sophisticated investor, with a final lingering question to rigorously evaluate your own portfolios. When you look across your holdings, how many empty seats in the theater of valuation are you currently misinterpreting as fully priced, simply because your models are tracking the noise of sentiment instead of the silent velocity of the structural wave?
It is a phenomenal question to end on. It forces you to look at every spreadsheet entirely differently. To explore these investment strategies further and discover more from the collection, visit the website averagingup.com.